You see the little voodoo mask over there where I
Yeah.
pray. I do
Yeah,
my
that's
silent prayers and curse the forces with me at HashiCorp.
Yeah, so that CDKTF thing got you activated. So what did you do after hearing that news? Because I thought
The
that project,
news.
I think we discussed this project. No one was using it. I mean, or what was my impression?
Triggered.
Triggered.
It's pushing buttons, right? This guy woke up fresh. I don't know what I
CDK
don't know what you want to, get off your chest before we
gang.
start. Okay, so anyone who's not aware, and this is my version of the story, right? My side of the story. When I woke up on Thursday last week, IBM has decided to sunset CDKTF, even though that the week before that they were all there with with all the people from AWS. And if you're not aware, CDKTF kind of collaboration between AWS and HashiCorp, because CDK is an AWS toolkit, cloud development toolkit, and only really successful for AWS cloud itself with AWS CDK. There is some CDKTF for Azure, but there's Bicep and Google. I think they try to use config. What's it, Config Manager or Config Connect? It's like cross-plane or based, Kubernetes based. So yeah, it was sunset. To be honest, I have been trying to fork the repository and nobody did anything. The repository had not received any love or any updates. It was still pinned to version 1.6 of Terraform, and I think they released 1.13 lately. Most of the features that came to Terraform since 1.7, and I think 1.7 is when the whole BSL fork happened, I think with 1.8. So ever
I mean,
since then,
you might as well go open tofu, right, at this point.
absolutely. So after the sunset event, which was posted on Reddit and Hacker News and on LinkedIn, most of the comments on Reddit, Terraform obviously was nobody's using it, right?
I hate
No,
those
let it
people.
die, right? Hate those people. Why would people say that, right?
Shouldn't
And then several, of course,
become
Pulumi
a
jumped
Reddit
on the
comment.
opportunity. It's like, yeah, CDKTF is like 2 years younger than Pulumi, so Pulumi came out first, and it was kind of like a half-baked effort from HashiCorp to try and emulate what Pulumi provides. I don't think that's really the case. I mean, maybe it was
Yeah.
one part of the
Actually,
reason why
I've not
Terraform
used
adopted it.
Pulumi in anger, so I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, so I did a very fun talk at DevOps Day Singapore about how Terraform HashiCorp language is a horrible way for developers to manage their infrastructure, and that
Goodness.
there's only few other options such as Pulumi, but nobody used it. And somebody in the audience obviously took offense to that, and told me to do a co-presentation for the AWS Community Day in Singapore in June, and I got schooled because I was like, this is how I have to do it with CDKTF, and he was like, oh, in Pulumi it's literally like one line. Oh, okay. So he kind of showed me the way, and I have to say Pulumi is impressive. The only problem is, and kind of how I changed my presentation, because my presentation was all about how so much easier it is to use CDKTF than Terraform modules. And the fact is that he was showing all of my examples with Pulumi, and they looked even easier with Pulumi. No, they looked the same. Let's be honest, they looked the same. So then I changed my pitch mid-presentation to basically say so many organizations have like 2 to 3 years Terraform footprint with like, known automation solutions such as Atlantis or GitHub workflows that are all built around Terraform, security scanners, all built around Terraform IIC. So it's very hard sell as a product engineer who wants to build a product and leverage, a queue and a Lambda, and the two has to be connected and you don't care how, right? And you do serverless, you're building this beautiful API gateway with all of its endpoints going through ACS Fargate containers for long-running jobs or directly to Lambdas for a quick response. And you don't care to learn about five different Terraform modules with 40 different variable inputs, and how do you configure an API gateway, right? So for serverless, AWS CDK is amazing, but try to come to your platform team and say, yes, I know you guys have this amazing Terraform pull request previews and scanning code and all this stuff, but I want to use AWS CDK. And then they have to start supporting CloudFormation, or even more go towards them and say, I want to adopt Pulumi, and now they have to think about Pulumi into this pipeline. Although that Pulumi's strong point is that they make migration from Terraformed to their cloud very easy. Obviously, they are backed by the original Terraform providers, so they have a lot of migration paths.
Yeah,
The
I'm
only
just
problem
looking at
is,
Pulumi now. They seem to support every language under the sun.
even YAML. Yeah, you can even put YAML as an input, and you get
But
infrastructure as code.
so do they have tools to convert the Terraform into a
Yes, they have a
language?
very powerful. I think they can even interact with the Terraform backend directly, right? So you can have them side by side. You don't need to migrate everything immediately. The only problem is you have to now sign a
Wow.
contract with Pulumi, and then you have to,
So your beef
negotiate that.
with So the big problem with Pulumi is that it's a commercial, non-free thing, right?
Well, when the BSL announcement came, basically when HashiCorp announced that the source code was available but not allowed to be used in competing commercial platforms, the
Yeah.
business license that they put on Terraform, Pulumi made a big announcement how they are the real free version, the real open source infrastructure as code. So I can't claim.
Oh, so they're open. Okay, hold on. I gotta check out their GitHub now. They're open source.
Yeah, and they also another famous pro for Pulumi is that SST, which is a, I think originally SST, they are the people that built serverless.tf, serverless, not serverless.com.
SST. Yeah,
Yeah,
SST.dev,
serverless.
right? Yeah, okay, so the source code is Apache 2 licensed. Okay,
Yeah, so.
but I'm guessing they have a model, because they see looks like they have like a cloud
Yeah.
UI, right?
Yeah, so they're like Terraform Cloud, right? They give you the ability to very quickly get started, just sign up to their cloud and get your Pulumi code
And then their
written.
Terraform cloud is essentially non-free, right?
Yeah, they
Or
both
can you
use
host your
resource on
own?
under management pricing models, right? I think we talked about that
Yeah.
very first time back in September when there was this announcement of open
Okay, so Pulumi
tacos and
seems
so
to be in
on.
a good position to deal with the CDK TF fallout then, right?
Yeah, and they even have made their AWS CDK adapter generally available. So CDK TF had this in technical preview since its inception, and for 5 years it was still in technical preview until it got shut down together with CDK TF. So the adapter, basically your team can write AWS CDK code, and the adapter converts the generating CloudFormation into Pulumi equivalents,
Wow.
allows your teams to quickly convert your AWS CDK to Pulumi as
But
well.
still, that doesn't sound quite right to me, because even if you convert your CloudFormation to Pulumi, how the hell are you going to,
Yeah, it's, I think this is just
marketing?
just marketing, and just to allow people to quickly do a POC on Pulumi and then see the benefits of the cloud. I guess there is a benefit compared to CloudFormation, right? It's very frustrating, CloudFormation, sometimes when you kick off a rollout and then it gets stuck and it does a rollback and you have to wait an hour. And it's this CloudFormation all or nothing behavior that is sometimes very frustrating. The ability for CloudFormation to, lose track of resources if the logical IDE changes. So that's where like Terraform and Pulumi are like have advantages because of the way they track state. They allow you to more carefully refactor your state, but they don't have this all or nothing guarantee like CloudFormation, right? CloudFormation is really like a database transaction. You kick off a rollout, it's going to go through. If it doesn't, it's going to try and roll back, which honestly also doesn't always work, right?
Never
Sometimes there
works
will
for
be
me.
something blocking it. Yeah. And then the rollback fails. So that's where people are like, oh, the AWS CDK is awesome, CloudFormation is horrible. And then they maybe have a lot of issues with like managing the overall team's interaction with CloudFormation stack. So Pulumi is in a really great position. They also have
Yeah.
SST. So SST, originally serverless were built on CloudFormation and SAML. SAM, sorry, not SAML. SAM, the
Yeah, I'm an
serverless
AWS
application.
SAM guy, kind of guy, to be honest.
Yeah, and SSD was kind of like replicating SAM on top of AWS CDK. So you don't have to work with the AWS CDK abstractions. But for example, you can say, I want OpenNext deployed as serverless on top of Lambdas. So SSD gave you that. It take care of everything. Like, I
Yeah,
want an
so
application, right? I don't care about Lambdas and
I'm
all
just
that.
clicking around. Pulumi, I guess, looks like it's done a quite a good job, I'd say, on the face of
Yeah.
it. It's just
So the
the ball breaker is the fact that they will catch you in their web of
cloud costs.
the cloud costs. So
Yeah.
there's no open source
There is. So
cloud.
that was one of the misconceptions I had as well about Pulumi, was that I heard that it was expensive and you can't self-host, but you can. You can move your cloud-hosted backend to an S3 bucket. But the counter to that is then, but now you have to manage all of this cross-team role-based access control, you know, all the enterprise features that come around
Oh yeah,
software orchestration.
SSO and all that sort of
Yeah.
stuff. Yeah,
So then you need to take that
FinOps.
on yourself. Yeah. And in that aspect, in the Terraform ecosystem, you have a lot of open source projects, right? And you can choose between Spacelift, you can choose between Terra Team, or you can choose Terra Mate or Terra Grand or Terra Grand Scale. So there's so many options around Terraform. And for Pulumi, you didn't have that many. However, Spacelift and others say, yes, you can also manage Pulumi with us. We're also hosting an S3 bucket and we're coupling it together with your Terraform. So yeah, that's why most of
Wow.
the reactions, yeah.
So I'm just let me just share my screen. I just want to map out where infrastructure is at then. Sorry.
And then we haven't even talked about system initiative
Oh yeah.
and the new one,
I hope
Config
to
Hub.
catch up with Adam at the Config Management Camp in Ghent.
Yeah, he'll give you a beautiful AI
So,
demo.
let me just try to think. I don't know how to do the scale here, but I was going to put like maybe this Terraform here, then this
Yeah.
Pulumi here. And Pulumi has seems to be the
I would put
most.
AWS CDK all the way on the right. That is like the benchmark for me.
Because it came first.
No, I don't think. I think Pulumi came around the same time or at the same time or a little bit earlier to AWS CDK, maybe.
Okay, so we have to prefix this with AWS infrastructure.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I was going to put it here, but like anyway. So most.
Yeah, AWS. For me, it goes more to the right to Pulumi because it has this little additional library. Like next to AWS CDK, you can put SST because that is on top of Pulumi. But anyway,
SST.
yeah.
Okay. So I was gonna maybe put use a scale of like, I don't know, features because I mean, let's be, we've talked about this before, but you can't do what Lambda
Yeah,
and serverless very
previews.
easily on the Terraform level. So you need something like.
It depends what features you're talking about. Because features are related to developer experience or operational experience, and how you like do previews, plan previews and things like that.
Well,
And role-based access control.
I'm thinking developer experience. I mean, what do you mean operational experience? Like how easy it is to manage
To
or?
refactor. For example, let's say as a company, we start with a single offering and we build a VPC with like some Lambdas and so on. And then later on, we spin off an
I guess
internal
I
team
would always
for a new
optimize
product
for
feature.
agility operational then.
Yeah, agility.
Yeah. So
So, you're only looking at one dimension, operational features,
yeah, well,
not the
we I
developer
mean
experience.
I sent you the link, but I mean be good to
Okay,
explore the
no
dimensions
worries.
here.
Yeah, let me try and add the developer experience dimension.
So
I'm just bossing you
I
around.
mean, CloudFormation is probably at the bloody bottom, isn't it? I mean, it's a nightmare to
Where
work
is the
with.
link?
No one wants a blo
CloudFormation, it's at the same level as Terraform. Come on, be honest. Gonna give you
Oh, no.
that Victoria Beckham.
I've refactored Terraform plenty of time.
Okay.
The tuning is good. CloudFormation, like you, it's you. I
So
don't
I'm
know.
going to create a separate scale for developer experience.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Hyperland does not
I'm
like
gonna
that.
put AWS SAM in the middle, just because.
I'm
I
on
mean.
Arch, by the way. I'm going to say it like six times during this call.
You know,
At
I
least.
started my channel by making ArchNix install videos for noobs like you.
No, I didn't have to install it.
Oh yeah, using Omo, you're using Omo. What's it called?
Omarchi?
Amachi.
Yeah, that's how he pronounced it, right?
Yeah,
Maybe we
but you
can
were
do like
sending me
this.
screenshots of Hyperland crashing or something, right?
Yeah.
Well.
That's why I'm on Arch for the crash experiences. I think Arch cannot run this website. Cannot run Xcali Draw. Maybe developer experience goes the other way, or I think the same direction.
Well, so, okay, define developer experience.
Yeah, as a DevOps engineer, you should know this.
Well,
Okay. Basically, we are not DevOps engineers, we are platform engineers. And one of the things that we should focus on is to provide our developers the tools so that they can take ownership on the services that they build and run in production.
okay.
And the developer experience comes with the easiness at which they can define
Yeah.
their production workloads.
Yeah, so my points of mental reference is like, Netlify and up
Wow, yeah, okay.
Vercel and things like that. So essentially what they need to twiddle with is a config YAML and a CLI tool or something like that. And that's it, right? That's my point of reference. Of course, so many companies just do it so much more convolute in an awkward way.
Fly.
Fly.io.
What did you say? You called
Netlify.
Netlify.
Yeah, so they all work in a similar way. There's some CLI and there's some config YAML or TOML. Maybe I should do a scale for cost. Like, or enterprise adoption or something like that. But some of these
This
things, like Pulumi, is going to get expensive. Enterprise. I don't know
So
if it's
anything
even.
I select doesn't show up on my browser. I think there's a problem with Chromium, to be honest. I'm on the
My
Chromium
God.
browser on a fork, and it doesn't render properly sometimes.
So Pulumi is going to be expensive. I think CloudFormation Terraform is a bit tricky because no, I mean Terraform is good because you don't need to pay for RUM. No RUM.
I think you cannot put operational features AWS SAM ab above Terraform. Or maybe,
I mean I
what do
love
you
it.
mean?
I love it.
Because it's backed by CFN, so you must have the same problems, like losing logical ID for resources loses the actual resource ownership. Although they have added a lot of new features to CloudFormation to help you refactor your code. But yeah, the main reason there is that organizations constantly change the names. Oh, we did a we had an offsite of the with the C-level team, and we decided to merge our AI team with our data team. And then all of these resources that were AI team now must be
I
called.
love what you said a few chats ago with changing of IDs. You were saying that like you should just use labels, right, to address
Yeah.
resources and use opaque IDs. I mean, I really that stuck with me. I need to do that more.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, and
And I
convince
think,
people you don't have to name a bloody bucket this certain way.
And that's something that CloudFormation kind of forces upon you, or AWS CDK, right? By default, it doesn't even allow you to define the physical ID of resources. And then I had some colleagues, and they were like, no, this load balancer has to be named exactly like this because I need to be able to find it in the console. And I'm like,
No.
no. Then you have to deploy the same stack twice, and you get an error because the load balancer identity, like physical ID, does already exist. Like, And then I got this whole discussion with the team manager after the guy that tried to do what I wouldn't allow him to do raised it up to our manager, and then said, "Yeah, come on, Vincent, we're not deploying the same application twice in the same AWS account." I was like, "Well, yes, we are, and we are consolidating more of our infrastructure." So,
Okay, I mean,
like.
I think you're being a little bit daunting. I mean, to be honest, I make assumptions right now. The thing I'm working with, and I need to make it talk to each other at some point soon. Okay, so, well, I mean, I like to fill this void. I do think AWSM, okay, AWSM is so specific to serverless, it's probably not worth beating around about. I'm probably going to copy. This is so difficult because the functionality is not comparable, is
Did you
it?
copy it or just drag it?
Oh, sorry, I meant to copy it. Hold on, let me copy it.
Okay. I don't know. We've just been dragging things around. Maybe we should
We got to start somewhere.
say what we mean by this.
Okay, your developer experience. I'm really surprised you put Terraform right rock bottom. I mean, Terraform has an incredible
Absolutely.
developer experience.
No.
It does.
It's a horrible developer experience. It's the worst.
I think
Maybe an
you're coming
operational
from a developer
experience.
point of view. Okay, you're like the guy who's
Yes.
like, I don't understand this. What is this .tf file?
Why do
I
you
don't.
sound make a whiny voice when you emulate a developer, a product engineer? What I'm
Okay.
saying is Terraform is exposing every single API resource of the cloud, of the SaaS that you're interacting with, right? Either the cloud provider or whatever, is it Mongo or whatever you're talking to, every single API endpoint must be configured and then must be linked together. So if you're setting up an API gateway and a Lambda, you must set up the IAM role and the IAM policy to provide Lambda permissions. Then you have to do the Lambda trust policy. Then you have to set up Lambda permissions to allow the API gateway service to invoke the Lambda.
Yeah,
That
there's a
you have
lot
to do
going
with
on.
Terraform.
Yeah,
And then you have to do it for every possible scenario that those things can be combined together, right?
I'm
So
just
it's
trying to
as a
come up with the right
developer,
word. You have to basically manage everything, and it's.
as a developer, and many people always came to me when I was purely Terraform only guy, and said like, look, I'm not like you. I cannot read the API docs or the provider docs and figure out how I need to connect all of these resources. Let me click ops. Let me go into the AWS console, click on this, then click on that. And then after that, I will try to capture everything in
Okay,
Terraform.
on the subject of ClickOps, is there good support by any of these tools to basically capture the state from an AWS
I think you should
account?
ask System Initiative to give you that demo, because that's one of the things that he's advertising, right? Like, look, people have ClickOps and now you have to, control it. So here you go, System Initiative doing that for you. Is there anything that does that really nicely? I don't think so. I don't think any of these tools help you fix whatever somebody clicks opt in. But some of these tools allow you to avoid ClickOps, to basically start the correct way, by defining it with SSD, because they give you that ability to say, like, I have a
Yeah, I
gateway, I
mean,
have a
I got a
Lambda,
soft spot for
take care of it.
ClickOps in a way, just because
Well,
I was on a job, and it took me literally like a week just to toggle something. Wow, I'm exaggerating, but it took a while.
took
And
to
I thought to
toggle something
myself,
using
this is
infrastructure as code.
ridiculous. Pardon?
Absolutely. So that's the problem with a lot of these infrastructure as code libraries, is that they're built from a very low level perspective. And you can either, and a lot of the tools that are being built right now is to, you know, reflect the reality of this nature of the cloud changing things under the hood, right? If you create an RDS instance, it's going to auto upgrade to the latest Postgres version, and then your Terraform is going to go like, nope, this is supposed to be Postgres 15. What are you doing running Postgres 18 over there? You know, let's delete this database and recreate it. Not
Actually,
of course, yeah.
dealing with data and any of these tools makes me a bit sweaty. Like,
So
I don't know
that's
if you
interesting you
mentioned what
say that.
happened. Yeah.
That's interesting because that's exactly the argument that somebody made just now on a thread on Reddit, because I'm 24 hours on Reddit, obviously. That he just made the argument that the only place you would use something like Terraform is to manage databases.
What?
Yeah, because he says like everything else is so dynamic, and most of the stuff you shouldn't be doing with IIC. IIC should be done for these like resources that need additional like operational
Okay, maybe he's got a point because it's got more
control.
stability aspects to it, yeah.
Yeah, because you're right, you do a, because with IIC it's often very close to GitOps, right? You need to make a source
Yeah,
code change to bring it to production.
we're using Terraform to manage some data right now, and basically one of our main guardrails is the plan, but no one
Exactly.
reads the plan. No one reads the plan. Like we got like a nice GitHub summary to say like, oh, do
Why
you
is
know
the
you're
plan like
recreating resources here?
that?
And they just go, yeah, whatever, apply.
That's weird. Because, like, first off, why is it recreating resources? That means that, and that's the hard thing about Terraform,
Well, I
is that
didn't
the
want to mention
smallest thing can cause it to
the I
recreate.
didn't want to mention the provider, but I'm going to mention it. That's not going to incriminate anyone.
No
But
problem.
we've been working with the Snowflake provider, and it just wants to recreate things very easily. But it's a complicated environment, to be honest.
Yeah, some providers have really low quality.
Yeah, and the Snowflake one is in maybe someone has made a video about it, but it's came out of like it came out of like the Chan Zuckerberg Foundation or something like this. It hasn't been maintained very well. And then Snowflake itself eventually
I use this
adopted
one.
it.
Lol. Oh, that's so funny. I use the
And there's so
Terraform
many
one.
experimental features in it. It makes you very nervous. I mean, and then Snowflake is
Right.
only used by the biggest enterprises ever.
Wow.
It's a very weird setup. But I guess
Interesting.
it is better than managing it by hand, I like to think. But still, at the end of the day, the provider just seems to do SQL calls or like it lacks so much functionality. You're ending up having to write these like, what do you call it, SQL execute blocks here and there and everywhere, which.
Yeah, so this is kind of where I feel when I started on my Terraform journey, I was like, Terraform everything, right? You create an RDS instance, you need a database in it. Well, we're gonna define the Terraform provider for Postgres, and we're gonna connect it to your RDS instance, and we're gonna create a database, and we're gonna create a plug the extensions that need to be active on that database. And it's a nightmare because now whenever you run Terraform, you have to have a tunnel to connect to the Postgres instance. And you know, once you start doing compliance, you need all types of security around that. And this is the type of stuff that it shouldn't be part of Terraform, right? Like running SQL queries through a provider. Just to me, already after using it for 10 years, seems something like done that, been there, never again. You know? That stuff needs
Okay,
to
I
go
think
into
we all
SQL
agree.
for
I
migrations.
agreed. I'm agreed with this whole developer experience at the bottom here.
I've convinced you.
But at the same time, the things that we put at the very top don't really. I mean, that's for very narrow use cases. I feel like we need to have maybe two axes at this point because we need like, oh God, one axis to sort of we need the vertical axis to talk about what you can do, like, AWS feature
But that's what, then the DevX or what?
scope or something like. Well, like the trouble is that Vercel is good at setting up a website, but you can't like run a database, or I mean, probably, I mean, maybe it does support
But because
databases.
it is just a higher level abstraction, right?
Yeah, so I understood. So basically, it needs to go down, you know, it needs to sink down here.
So,
Well, with
you
term.
just moved. You just moved my DevEx scale to the right, saying feature scope, and you just. But
Well,
I
no,
think you're right.
and then here I would say dev experience, because we need to basically. Okay, we can discuss
No,
this later.
I think your feature scope is the DevEx, and your x-axis should be the operational features that we were just talking about. Because
Okay.
the feature scope here, like Vercel, has great DevEx, so it needs to go up there. But horrible operational experience, such as like I need fine-grained control to bootstrap a database. I can't do that because Vercel is very high level, and under the hood, it's going to create some type of data store, and they take care of it, which is like a
Okay.
trade-off, right?
Yeah,
They're going to
you're
give you like three different types of data store, and you don't care how they're
Yeah,
just going
you're
to
right.
make
You're right.
it.
The operational stuff comes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I didn't know what SST V2 is. What the hell is that? That's just serverless, isn't it?
So basically, the way I understand it, because I only became familiar with SST when my friend introduced it to me. Originally, I think the people that built serverless.com, they created SST on top of AWS CDK. I think serverless was using SAM and maybe CloudFormation directly, and then with some scripting around it, and then they created SST, which is just instead of directly writing CloudFormation, they would just leverage all of AWS CDK, because AWS CDK is this amazing library that gives you these beautiful integration patterns. If you need to create a Lambda and a gateway and you just connect it to, it's going to take care of everything, right? So you don't have to generate every single CloudFormation resource. You just
Okay,
say
so it's
here.
like a it's another sort of CDK slash Pulumi type offering, right?
No, it's on top of. So originally it was on top of CloudFormation, then they rewrote it on top of on AWS CDK, and then they rewrote it on top of Pulumi. So SST is like the AWS CDK L2s, but they're trying to go like Vercel, kind of in the middle.
Oh.
They are.
Oh, we don't have Pulumi on this top thing. I mean, Pulumi needs to be up here or something. I don't know.
Well, you're like, yeah, I was trying to duplicate it, but it didn't manage to duplicate it. So yeah, Pulumi and SST. On operational, I think there would be the same.
Okay.
Yeah, SST V1 was on AWS CDK and SST V2 is on top of Pulumi.
Dude, how do you get exposure to all this stuff, man? I feel like I'm doing a lot and I don't get to touch some things. Okay. I guess you attend a lot of talks, don't you?
I was my colleague, sorry, my ex-flatmate who pivoted, originally started with Amplify and then with AWS CDK, and then he says, SST is this amazing thing.
Oh my God, Amplify. Oh my God, sweet Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But Amplify also completely rewrote itself on top of AWS CDK, yeah. And then they just became like this portal that you it's kind of like I think AWS answer to Vercel. This basically like allows you to create your front
That,
end to deploy it.
yeah, that's true. That's true. But I never
They changed it.
appreciated the stack. Okay,
Yeah, well,
okay.
they completely changed the stack because originally Amplify was doing CloudFormation and now it's just doing like CDK stacks. And then it's just allowing you to manage your front end deployments, your S3 contents and your CDN configuration from an abstract level. A bit like Vercel, really. Like,
Yeah, but
I
nowhere
think
near as
Amplify
good.
is really like Vercel.
No, I think Vercel is much better than Amplify.
When was the last time you looked at Amplify?
Years ago, and I had
Exactly.
a
So
I
you
had
don't know.
I think I have a GitHub project about it, and then it was impossible to like just maintain it. I
And
had
so
like a
basically, yes, I know that's what Amplify used to be. But what I there was this lady who posted on LinkedIn access to a Udemy workshop that she had just published, which was AWS CDK and Amplify. And for free, you got access for like 2 days or something like that. And so I did a speed run through it, like literally in a day, just crushed it. And I went through the whole AWS CDK thing and the Amplify side of things. And it's literally just like a month ago. Not 2 months
Oh.
ago. Yeah. And it's really like Amplify when I looked at it, and I haven't used Vercel, but it really is like, oh, I want to do blue green experiment. Oh, I want to do this. It just takes care of everything under the hood for you. And you just go, here's my website source
Okay,
code,
okay.
and it just take care of the whole
Okay.
deployment.
Anyway, so We can put a bloody amplifier here. Jeez.
Yeah, Amplify V2 or whatever, Amplify Current.
Whatever. New one. Okay. So now if we, and how do we account for the cost of things? I guess let's just focus on operational features and DevEx. Are you able to copy and paste into this one so that we have a better graph here? Or shall I just do it?
Yeah, no, my Chromium is unresponsive
Okay,
right
so if
now.
maybe I put Terraform the bottom here. CloudFormation 2, God, it's got a terrible experience. Pulumi looks like it can do a lot. Wait a minute, it's gonna look the same, isn't it? It's gonna look the same. There's no DevEx and operational features seems to
I mean,
be the same thing, right?
Pulumi and Pulumi Cloud, I guess, and Terraform and Terraform Cloud, maybe. So Pulumi, I would propose in terms of operational features, a bit higher than Terraform, and in terms of DevOps, kind of in the middle.
But
Sheet, go ahead.
ultimately, I can't help but think there's no the major differentiator short is going to be is just going to be it's just going to be price, isn't it? When you like if you were like a Fortune 500 company, you're not going to use well, you can't use Vercel and things because that's not going to be enough. And you're not going to use AWS CDK, and Terraform is, as we know, limited. But then you're gonna basically pay for Pulumi. Okay, I'm not too sure where I'm going with this.
Okay,
I also
I
wanted to tie this into AI somehow, but it looks like Pulumi is in a very good spot. And
yeah.
we haven't even talked about Kubernetes, but I don't want to talk about Kubernetes. Looks like Pulumi is on a. I don't know if can we invest in Pulumi? It looks like it's in a really good spot.
Are you building a tech reader? Maybe you should pull up some famous tech reader. Hold on. What was I? AWS CDK.
Not on the current edition.
I would give AWS CDK high DevEx but very low operational experience. And then SST, given it's on Pulumi, would be a little bit less on the DevEx side because they didn't build all the same like service levels. But on the same level as Pulumi in terms of operation, because it uses Pulumi under the hood. Yeah. What else is there? Does it make sense?
Hold
Where are you? I don't see you anymore.
on. I'm here. I was just looking at what the why does it say Datadog?
What the?
No,
I like
I
this.
was just looking at the
I think you're on this. Hold on.
tech radar. The only thing it says on platform to adopt is Arm in the cloud, which sounds a bit weird.
Sometimes I wonder if these people that make those tech radars really know what they're talking about. I don't know which one you're looking at, but like I'm just guessing.
Now, okay, let's tie this back to AI. So we just riffed about how Pulumi and SST is in a good spot. We should put system initiative somewhere here, right?
Maybe you can take this slide back when you talk to Adam from System Initiative, where you would
Yeah,
put it
I mean,
there.
I'm not that happy here, but like, okay, what? Okay, say you're the what do you call it? The chief technology officer of a big company that had a whole bunch of AWS accounts.
Only AWS.
let's say it's only AWS, just to keep the conversation sane.
Yeah.
How would you begin to manage it? Like, let's even go even more bizarre. Let's say, like, oh, Vincent, we need to build up to 100 accounts, and we need to do this in the space of 6 months, and or 3 months, and you choose the technology to do it with. Can I assume that Vincent would choose Pulumi? And there's no budget. I
It
mean, there's
would be
no.
between Pulumi and or between SST and AWS CDK, yes. If there's no budget limitation, maybe more towards SST then.
But
If
SST
it is no
does it
budget.
have a cloud and man and the governance and all
I
that?
think they may have runners, but they basically originally SST they had their own like deployment pipelines, but since they completely pinned themselves on Pulumi, I would imagine that they are completely powered by Pulumi deployments.
Okay, it sounds like Pulumi. So okay, so you would
Let
choose
me just
Pulumi.
explain once more why SST and Pulumi and AWS CDK and CloudFormation, what the relationship is, right? You
Okay.
understand AWS CDK. So AWS CDK is to CloudFormation what SST is to Pulumi. In other words, Pulumi gives you the low-level concept of an IAM role, an IAM policy, and a bucket, and an API gateway, and a Lambda. And then SST gives you the concept of I have an API gateway that's backed by a Lambda and it needs to
Yeah,
write
gives
reports
you
into a
higher
bucket.
level patterns, right?
Yeah, SST
Level
gives you those
two,
higher
level
level patterns.
threes, and
Yeah. And then Pulumi, they have two different providers. They have the pure Terraform provider converted on top of their own engine. So they run the engine, the configuration that you provide is in programming language or YAML or whatever. They run that inside a runtime. They convert your program into configuration that then gets executed, right? So if you look at it like CDKTF, to me, Pulumi and CDKTF is very similar. Is that you write TypeScript code or Golang code or Python code, and it generates configuration for the Terraform provider and Pulumi, their internal representation of whatever that cloud plugin is, right? If they're targeting AWS, it's a plugin for AWS. They originally just ported the provider AWS for Terraform for AWS, right? Pulumi was just porting the Terraform provider and then building a programmatic interface on top of it. I think they may have like refactored the way that that works because now they have all kinds of hooks system. So while your program is executing, some of your program execution is happening while it's deploying things inside the cloud. So if you look at Terraform, you have a configuration. And then the provider is executing the configuration, and then the provider is, config like sending the request to the API, do this, then send the request to the API, do this, right? And Terraform does not really have a lot of features that allows you to mid deployment execute this function and then based on the output do something else, right? By design, because originally Terraform was meant to be very deterministic, very predictable. So that you are able to know this is the exact configuration, what I want all of these resources to look like, right? But with Pulumi, you have like this on event type of things. You can hook into the process, and if you're deploying to a region that only has two availability zones, you automatically like adjust the configuration towards it, right?
Interesting.
So yeah, so Pulumi has these like events, and I think AWS CDK has similar things because while you are, as a product engineer defining this is what I need to deploy, it will also hook into the target environment depending on how you are calling the constructs. They can basically decide that okay, I just downloaded the whole VPC setup. I know there's two subnets and they are in two these availability zones. I know all of this information, which is called the context of the environment that you're deploying into, and they can reconfigure or generate CloudFormation stacks
Really,
accordingly.
I've never written CDK like that.
Yeah, that's what context providers do. And then to make sure that's still deterministic, that context that was used to basically determine how the CloudFormation stack is generated is also stored on disk. So you can then put that into your GitHub, into your version control, sorry, Git, and then you can rerun the context lookup to update your context. So then if you want to change things. For example, maybe one day you are targeting Singapore region and it only has two availability zones. But the next time Singapore introduced the third availability zone, and you don't want all of your
Wait,
cloud
you're
permissions
blowing my
stacked up
mind
in
here.
CDK.
CDK, you would check in something into your
The
in.
context, yes. So
I've never seen that done. I mean, the CDK is all managed in CloudFormation, is how I understood it.
CDK generates CloudFormation, but in the process of generating CloudFormation, it can do some callouts to your environment to determine how to best generate that CloudFormation.
Do you have an example of a context checked into Git? I guess it's all going to be
Yeah, the one
private.
that I was just talking about and the example that they give why you should check in your context is exactly what I just said. Like, let's say that the new availability zone is introduced and that kind of like maybe you have some type of cyber subnetting logic that you have a whole like subnet for this particular
Okay,
tier of
you're
your.
blowing my mind. I didn't really know about this context thing. I have to look it up. And then when you do CDK bootstrap, it creates like three different bloody places for things or something, if I remember
Yes,
correctly.
because CDK is very enterprise focused, allowing you to exactly control how to how the bootstrap happens, right? Like what are the basically CDK has this asset bundling pipeline, and that's why it bootstraps so many things. Because if you do Terraform, you just need to find a way, for example, to put an object into an S3 bucket so that your Lambda can point to it and then deploy the source code from the S3 object. Or maybe your Lambda wants to be deployed from a Docker image, so you need to use the ECR. So these asset repositories, the ECR and the S3 bucket, are very important in the way that you deploy your code. And this is more important if you do serverless because you have all of these snippets of code that need to be coordinated together with your Lambda configuration and the environment variables and everything, right? So AWS CDK has a built-in asset pipeline. And part of the things that it bootstrap is all of the necessary supporting architecture for that asset pipeline. It will create an ECR repository so that it can, so that it can build a Docker image part of the, bundling aspect of your application, and then deploy that Docker image in or push that Docker image into the into ECR, the asset registry for Docker images, or push the bucket maybe which is an ES build bundled Node.js with all of its dependencies and whatever AWS SDK is external needs to be external because that's provided within the runtime. So all of that is taken care of by AWS CDK because it has this beautiful asset pipeline, right?
Well, I noticed it in my workplace that when AWS CDK deploys this Fargate pattern or whatever, it's building the Docker image in the same
Yeah.
pipeline. And I thought to myself,
Yeah.
that's not cool.
It depends. So
Because
when I was.
as soon as the Docker file build fails with some rate limit, then the whole deployment fails. That's a joke, in my opinion.
To be honest, if you are coming from a developer experience perspective, not being bothered by how exactly your code gets bundled up and made available to be deployed is kind of a feature that you want. And that's why they have it, right? This asset pipeline thing. From looking back when I started with AWS and Terraform, I very strictly said, okay, your code, for example, your website and your bundle, the way that like assets are getting deployed is very disconnected from your infrastructure, right?
I'm not
Classically,
so sure I'm a big believer of that because these things take
no,
time.
it's
These
wrong.
things.
What I just said is wrong. When you start out, you think like I have a very, very strict separation between infrastructure and the code. Because my infrastructure is, for example, my Kubernetes cluster, it's my S3 bucket and my CloudFront CDN setup. But the actual website that's managed by the product team that need to be deployed and rebuilt is decoupled from it, right? Exactly. And that's wrong.
What?
Absolutely wrong. Because if you're doing actual DevOps culture, a two-pizza team where you have site reliability engineering as part of the product team, the whole deployment process belongs to the product team, not to the infrastructure team.
But there's more to it because you don't want a product team to manage Kubernetes, but okay.
Why? I mean, like, sure, we don't want them to manage Kubernetes. That's where you, as a platform team, are provisioning the Kubernetes and the integration points, like the Kubernetes endpoint where they need to target their deployments towards, right? So, but we're not talking about Kubernetes here, right? We're talking about an S3 bucket and the contents of that S3 bucket, or a Lambda and the contents of that Lambda, together with, like, let's imagine that you're deploying this API gateway, like this
Okay. I feel like we
magical
need another
server.
scale about how the organization is done. Like if it's like
And that's a very important
team
point.
topology or whatever.
Yes, because
If
that's what Elad Ben Israel fi figured out after he left AWS, and why
which
AWS CDK works so well in AWS but doesn't work in other organizations.
because of
Because
the
in
team.
AWS, they have a two pizza team, they have an SRE as part of the team. The team is responsible for all of the observability, for every paging alert that happens. It goes to the product team. They are deploying 100 times a day. They get the alerts. They have their product, reliability and their runbooks. Everything is managed by the team. But in a lot of organizations, there's still a very strict separation where you have a security team responsible for the IAM roles, another team responsible for other things. And that's where team topologies are then making it
I'm
obvious that
almost,
you want.
yeah. I mean, to be honest, I'm been working with strict separation, separation of duty type outfits for like a decade now. So I'm pretty like, I don't know how to describe. I don't even know what it's like to be in an autonomous team anymore.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that AWS can do that in a way, considering. You
You
know
know where
how
I
big
saw
they
this
are.
like very nicely and a public artifact of this as an example. As part of AWS CDK and the whole CDK ecosystem, they built a thing called the Construct Hub. So the Construct Hub, or if you go to construct.dev, I think it is a place that you can find every single construct that was built. And remember, constructs are usually, L2s or L3s built by the community. Yeah, constructs.dev. So these are amazing. They're like a Terraform module registry, but instead it doesn't cover a niche technology by one company called IBM, and then peddled by other companies like Spacelift. Instead, this is using a registry of .NET, Golang, Java, Python, TypeScript, and its best-in-class, artifacts, or yeah, artifact registries. So across all of these, so this Construct Hub is a complete public GitHub repository. And if you go to that public repository of the source code of the Construct Hub, you see that it's a massive serverless application. Basically, there's what is it? It's a Kinesis stream subscription, or it's a stream subscription to the npm.js publish packages, right? So if you go to the source,
Yeah, I'm
you
looking
can
right here.
find, and the reason this is public is because you can deploy this within your organization. So it tells you exactly how you can operate this within your organization. For example, you have your own private registry of npm, your own .NET registry. You don't want to be public, and you want to make this Construct Hub available within your enterprise. You can do that, and it has documentation with guidebooks, exactly what is the alert that's set up. Like there's a backup bucket in a separate region. So if a region is down, all of your registry downloads are still available in a separate region, and this is how you do a failover, and this is how you do that. These docs are amazing. So when I saw this, I was like, now I understand how a product team can build something and has like very detailed runtime guidelines on how to observe and react to alerts and why that alert exists, because it creates all of the CloudWatch alerts. It tells you exactly why the alert is triggering and how to handle that instance. So that's on one side, like a two pizza team. You want to see a beautiful implementation or a product delivered by a two pizza team, you look at the Construct Hub. I
Yeah.
looked at it was amazing.
So, I mean, these people ha the two pizza team has to be like super mature to take on all these
Yeah.
this responsibility, I suppose. But
Yeah.
meanwhile, most companies are designed to silo responsibility for lots of
And
good
that's because
reasons.
once you start talking about compliance and those initiatives, then now you need to align, and you need to like do across all of your teams. You need to make sure that the technology they are using are similar, so that you can push through huge initiatives. If you have one team doing it like this and another team doing it all on Google Cloud, it's extremely difficult to get like compliant. And I guess like AWS is really good at that as well. But most enterprise main business is not about doing all of that, right? I mean, AWS is a company providing cloud services, and they are building cloud services, and they have a great team to build cloud services. So that makes sense. Most companies, the DevOps type of initiatives are part of an operational team that is short-staffed and that needs alignment across the teams and centrally controlled. And that's where team topologies come in, right?
Yeah,
Once one level becomes your bottleneck.
so which tooling, by that explanation, would they gravitate to, in your opinion?
I believe with things like AWS CDK and Construct Hub, you can have a platform team that builds really powerful constructs for the rest of the organization. Constructs that make sure that the patterns used by the product teams are supported and can be easily integrated within compliance initiatives and zero trust and all those, cross-organizational effort that you don't want to go through every team and try to fix them up. You want to give them an approved and rubber stamped
Yeah, that's
solution.
exactly what happens in my current gig right now. We create
Yeah.
constructs for other teams to use.
Yes, and that requires your platform team not to come from pure operational background, right? It requires your platform team to understand how to do object-oriented programming, how to define an interface, how to integrate that in, like iterate on that interface, how to do, contracts across teams, how to test against those contracts. And then you come to an organization that's using Terraform. Because the old system administrators that like config files never wrote actual object-oriented interface or whatever, and then they cannot deal with CDK. They cannot deal with like all of these like program
Yeah, well,
complexities.
we try, yeah.
I sound because I'm a bit frustrated because I was
Yeah,
in a lot of
there's
those
no
teams where
e
I try to introduce this, and I always get like the feedback like, Terraform is simple. Why do you make it so complicated? But in reality, Terraform is not simple. And 1 year down the line, 2 years down the line, you have Terraform modules that have such a complex interface. There's no testing because you have never thought about like actual software testing on your infrastructure as code, right? Code. But you're actually doing
Okay,
infrastructure as configuration.
we need to wrap up in 5 minutes. I need to run out and drop my kids off to school. But just on this point, you develop constructs for other people in your organization to use, right? But the trouble is that, let me just get this clear. Do you expect people to use your constructs via a config.yaml, or do you expect them to use like a Python library or something?
Yeah, so I think there's very different personas, and I think as a platform team, what you should be building maybe exposes a flat interface like a YAML. But I don't like YAML. At least it should be JSON schema typed YAML so that they get an error if they use a field that is not there, right? Or if
Yeah,
they
I mean,
misalign
you can
the
do
space
YAML
with JSON schema or
linting,
Pickle.
or use, but most
Use
companies use
Pickle.
pedantic. Pedantic. Have you heard of
Pedantic
that?
on YAML? I never tried that.
Yeah.
But how does pedantic work? It must have some type of schema for the data structure behind the
Yeah,
YAML, right?
so basically pedantic, if I understand correctly, it has its own model. So the way that you use pedantic is that you read in that YAML, and then you compare it against the model, and the model is very powerful. You can express anything in that model,
Okay, I've
and then the
noticed
model
that.
basically tells you if it's how what all the config's going to be, and if the config YAML is valid, and such and so forth. And it's used a lot.
Yeah, so what the way I handled like the problem with YAML, with it being so unstructured, is that we used YAML often as an input for generating well, if you put it on top of Terraform, you can do the Terraform plan preview to see how messed up you did when you
Yeah,
upgrade to it,
but
right?
it sounds like such a this whole area with the government. Okay, I do want to bring this back to.
Yeah.
I guess we can continue, but like, what of all these technologies that we sort of tried to map out here badly, Do you think AI is going to help any of these problems that we have at the moment, like the Teams, the DevEx? Does
So I did a
maybe you
podcast about a
could,
year ago about the AI and the infrastructure, and they compared it as a new way of doing ClickOps, basically. You just have these rampant LLMs just going around creating things across different areas where you have no idea. So the main point of bringing AI to an organization, I think we might have talked about this already, was that we need to guide the AI with rules and sandboxes, and there's several organizations, like several tooling suppliers like Stackpack that are focused on
So
providing you.
basically, we're going to be in this area in AI. We're headed to the governance side of things. No.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, it's like you see what Cloud Skills is doing, and now Kiro Superpowers. It's all about giving the LLM directions, right? And right now they're generic, but I'm sure a lot of organizations adopting AI are creating internal rules, right? They are saying, okay, if you're using cloud, use our rules, use our skills directory internally within our
What
organization.
kind of rules would there be? Like use
If you want to
Fargate instead.
deploy, the integration points for a VPC are in this repository. Don't create a VPC for scratch. There's an existing one, and this is how you find the information about it, right? Our ingress is handled through our CDN layer, and we must follow these rules, so on, right? Like the platform team are here. This is the registry where you can find information about the different integration points. As a product team, you're going to have to integrate into the platform team or the cloud
Yeah, I mean
integration.
that makes sense, but like, I'm just thinking aloud that how is this actually governed? So you have the rules and like say a product team, oh shit, I need to go. Okay, we need to pick up here. We need to pick up here about how AI is going to work in a typical organization.
Why did we end up talking about this? Because you asked me about CDKTF
Yeah.
and I just went on my classic rant.
Yeah, we can reflect. Okay, I'll catch up with you in a bit. Probably tomorrow, all right?
Yeah, tomorrow, because in a bit I'll also be on the road.
Okay.
So.
Okay, good one. Thanks, Vincent. Bye.